Hello, this is Udo Dirkschneider of UDO, and you are watching CMS TV.
We are back.
Chris Aiken's Dirty Deeds. Dun, right. Dirt cheap.
Dirty Deeds on Cameo. I just, real quick, before you start telling your story here, I'm just going to tell the people on Rumble, you guys can feel free to throw some comments if you want. There's like 55 people or something over there. You know, I think they think that we're still pre-recorded. We're back to doing it live now, folks, so you guys can be part of this if you would like. Throw some comments in, and we'll post up, and we'll probably react to them because we're lame like that. But
comments, questions. No, that's part of it. That's important for the people that watch. They get a chance to get a shout-out.
Of course. But I do think that people probably think that we're pre-recorded because we've been pre-recorded for so long. So, you know, see, now that's a perfectly appropriate comment there, Fuego. Who doesn't? So there you have it. We are definitely live. So it is Chris Aiken Presents. Me, Chris Aiken, that dude over there, Eric Ferrantinos. And Eric, you said that you saw something over the weekend that you
background tonight, I tried to go for a desert neon. I do a lot of neon this year for 2024 has been my theme. Last year I did a lot of goofy stuff with old TV shows and different stupid stuff. But this year I go, you know what? For the 2024, I'm going neon. So you'll probably notice a theme with that.
Okay.
I did a desert theme tonight, and it had to do with Coachella. Like, have you watched any of the disaster that Coachella seems to have been this year?
No. The only thing that I saw was like I saw like a 3-second clip of the hotties from the WWE were there, Liv Morgan and CJ Perry and some other, what's her name? JoJo Offerman were there. I saw that they were there and they were just dancing around all hot in bikinis or whatever. And I was like, oh, I like this. But other than that, I don't know one thing about, I don't know who played it. I don't know. You know, it was cool when it started, but the last few years has all been just shit I wouldn't listen to. It's all been, you know, Kanye and the Kardashians and that kind of shit.
No, I want to say her name right. Is it Leanna Grimes? Is that the name?
Leanne Rimes?
No, I think is it Rimes? The one, and she was doing DJing there as one of the artists. We got to look this up because apparently.
Is there video, you think?
Yeah, there's got to be video from this because everybody has a phone at these things. Leanna. But it's, I would put in Coachella, you know. I thought the last name was Grimes, I thought. But am I tripping?
Leanna, my name is Grimes. Coachella, one day ago. That's probably it, right?
Right. I guess her DJ, the BPMs, the beats per minute on her tape recording or whatever, were going at twice the speed. So she had like a disastrous deal going on during this thing and was like, oh, folks, that is what it is. It was, I guess, I didn't even watch the footage yet. I'm going to look up because now I feel dumb for not saying her name right.
It's Grimes. She just goes by Grimes.
Okay. Good. So I had that part. That part right. We should see what's going on with her at this thing because that's got to be funny to watch. And I don't think they could have got that off the internet in time.
It's not coming up on BPM Misfire. That's fine. 2024.
I don't know if it's gonna say BPMs on it.
Tech trouble for Coachella. Grimes.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Let's pop this up here.
Okay.
Preset share. Now we're going into this blind. This may not even be video, so I don't know, but we'll try.
Grimes having a 10-minute meltdown during Coachella is the best PR move ever. Okay.
Oh boy.
handle this. All right. Let's try this again.
Plug this in here.
Y'all, don't judge me for being bad at calculating things.
What? They're all leaving.
You know what? Being bad at math is not a sin. What the f***? That was actually me. That time, that was actually me.
Jesus.
Okay. I'm going to...
That's probably not what you're looking for, but...
No, that's perfect. Yeah, I mean, you can't really see DJs when they're up there. They're just a small person up there.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, what a nightmare for her.
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you don't play an instrument and you don't have really any control. I mean, she's doing something that I could probably do.
Apparently, she outsourced a lot of this work for her thing. Like, she had somebody else create the tracks that were going to be used or something. And I don't know how the speed got changed. Maybe the I don't know. I don't know much about that, doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you
but she blamed the outsourcing. Like, she's not the one that created what she was playing, which is kind of ridiculous. So you're going out there and literally just hitting play on your computer
and taking a $50,000 check or whatever it is.
Yeah, like, do you? I mean, usually most artists get paid right before they go on, but I would give her a hard time for that. I mean, it's bad for the festival in a way, and that's just, I guess we're going to see a lot more of this as the newer artists are relying on their digital. Dude,
you're an artist. Let's call it what it is. Is this an artist?
No, not in the capacity of pushing a button on a computer. I could be a DJ. I could go up there. Hey, I'm going to pay you. Can you make me some DJ tracks so I can go to Coachella and hit play up there and have my moment?
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, what is the... What... It's one thing if like Skrillex, and I know very little about EDM music or whatever this shit is called. I don't know a lot about it, but I know
Deadmau5,
you know, but I know Skrillex is like the biggest guy, right? Or he was, or is the all-time legend or whatever.
Right.
I know he programmed his own shit.
Right.
If she outsourced this, then why do they need her? Other than she has 2 million fucking Instagram followers or
That's
whatever.
That's right. Bingo.
That's the only reason she's there, right? Is because
she's an influencer, right? That I mean, we're spitballing her. I never really heard of her, and I think we are confusing the name with the country star, right? There's
Leanne Rimes.
And this girl's name sounds very similar. That's why I was having trouble remembering the story. I should have probably written it down for you. I didn't even know if we were going to talk about it, but it's not the only story that was bad from Coachella. There was another artist that didn't have her hologram there. And
apparently she bangs Elon Musk.
Oh, see? Yeah, so she's very connected. This is...
Yeah, that's how you get a gig when nobody's ever heard of you.
Right.
Just bang the richest guy in the world. You can do whatever you want.
Let me make a phone call. You're at Coachella. That's when it's just the things become such a sellout. Like, I remembered it being cooler like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, well, the way I remember Coachella in the day was that what made it kind of cool was that it was kind of genre non-specific. Mm-hmm. So you could see Rage Against the Machine and, I don't know, Sheryl Crow on the same bill.
Right.
Which was kind of cool for a guy like me that loves all kinds of music. That was very cool. Now it just seems like it's hipster shit.
Yeah. And it's they were big names too. They were like, and it would be like maybe a reunion of somebody you wouldn't think would possibly get back together. Not, I don't know if Led Zeppelin played, but you know, it'd be like that level kind of bands maybe would headline and do something. Boss Metal said, when you have no talent and rely on the MacBook to entertain the people. Yep, it's BS.
It is. Yeah, where is Coachella? Where is that actually at?
It's in the desert here in California.
Is it by like Joshua Tree or is that?
Yeah, one? I think it's not too far from there.
Okay.
And it was also a big camping thing. Like the big part of Coachella was you go out there and bring a tent and camp for the couple days, which I'm totally not into that.
Yeah, fuck that. Dude, are you into festivals at all? Festivals, playing or attending? Playing and attending is what I'm saying.
I used to enjoy attending them when I was in my 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I care so much. I'm not really a concert goer outside of my professional life.
Right.
That's about all I can muster up.
Has it ruined it for you?
In a way, yeah. Just the traveling and the, yeah, it has ruined it in a lot of ways. However, when we are playing on a festival and there are some other cool bands, I do take the opportunity to walk over and try to check them out and see them and enjoy the show.
Right. Can you watch a show? And let me give some backstory on this. Years ago, I had my own music magazine and I wrote like crazy and I put in so much time into it. And I interviewed a zillion bands and whatever. And I interviewed anybody that made sense for the magazine, not necessarily that made sense for me. And when I sold the magazine, I took 5 years where I don't think I listened to 10 new records. For 5 years, and this is me, you know how I am with music. I literally only listened to like sports talk radio and political radio for 5 years.
Wow.
Because I just didn't want to deal with music. It had so ruined me to music.
Yeah.
I just hated it. And then when I did listen to it, I listened to it like a professional instead of like a fan.
Yeah.
So I would listen to it and I'd be like, oh, you know, I listen to that mix. The mix is off here and they missed a beat here and, you know, the tempo is wrong. You know, I got programmed like that. For you, when you go out, let's say that it's you guys in Warrant and Lita Ford. I'm just throwing any old names out there.
Right.
And let's say for some reason Lita Ford's the headliner that night. I don't know if that would ever happen, but whatever.
Hmm.
You watched. You do your set, you come off. Could you watch Lita Ford's set and be like, yeah, I'm just rocking out? Or would you be watching Lita Ford's set and you'd be going, man, there's something wrong with the fucking PA, or I could tell that her monitors aren't working or something.
I don't remember where it was, and I feel like it was already like a decade ago. We did open for her somewhere, and she was great. Like I totally enjoyed watching it. It was like her and Slaughter, and we might have had to open that one for back then.
Okay.
And I totally watched it and totally enjoyed it. It was super cool. And I
were
think
you able to watch as a fan though, or did you watch for like
I'd say I'm a fan in the sense that like Kiss Me Deadly and those songs when they were on MTV.
Sure.
I thought it was cool. Like she caught a pass, you know.
Yeah,
she was a, you know, hot female chick. Artist. Yeah. Back then. And when you're a young teenager and 15 years old. So that's always in the back of my mind. But, you know, she's actually a great guitarist and a great singer, and she's still doing it, which is awesome. And her band's great.
Yeah. I was just curious if you can watch a show just as a fan, only as a fan. Or if you're one of those guys that'll watch the stage and you'll see, oh, look, his amp isn't working, or you'll hear fuzz and you look at it as, oh, look, it's because he's using this kind of cable. He ought to be using that kind of cable or something.
Sometimes I can hear a band, you know, kind of sucking or not doing well, and you're like, we can laugh like, oh, God, listen to that. Or
right.
This or yeah, that sounds like a problem there. But festivals, yeah, there is stuff that can go wrong. I mean, I've complained on the show of some of the festivals we've done where they don't even have a microphone put in front of my cabinet, or they can't get the monitors plugged in right, and it's you only have so much time to be up there. And so they can be chaotic. Mm-hmm. They're bigger festival, but you know, bigger festival, bigger problems. Some know what they're doing more than others. I've played some good ones. I wouldn't want to not play them. I mean, they're a great opportunity to see a bunch of cool bands and play for bigger crowds.
Sure.
But ultimately, the theater shows are probably the most intimate yet cool gigs to play.
Too. So you would take a casino over a Coachella?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, I would be awesome to actually play Coachella, but I don't know how like rat music would be received or what the demographic. I mean, like you said, it was kind of non genre specific so much. Coachella, you know, originally. But now, I mean, looking at the lineup, one of the artists I wanted to bring up was Sublime. I don't know how familiar you are with Sublime.
Yeah, I know of them.
which I heard a funny description of what Sublime fans are, beach juggalos.
That's pretty good.
ICP, like Insane Clown Posse, has the juggalos.
Yeah,
like the Sublime kind of people are beach juggalos. That was kind of a funny, yeah, funny take on it. No, looking back, like that band is old now. Like when I was in, you know, graduating high school or would have been in college, like early 20s, 21, 22, that's when that band Sublime was breaking out. And then right about the time when that What I Got song came out a couple years later, the guy dies. Like he dies the day the song comes out or something. It was ridiculous.
Right.
So they had a couple of like independent records they kind of put out. And then the one big record on heroin overdoses. And I knew he had a daughter, but I guess he had a son, Jacob, who now is 30 years old. This is the age his dad was.
Okay.
When he passed away. And he is now fronting the band. So the singer Rome, that's been singing for the incarnations of Sublime and the Long Beach Dub All Stars and different.
Okay.
I know some of this stuff because I was so familiar.
Sure.
My high school friends loved this band and they loved No Doubt so much. I got personally tired of it. Like, and I think the music does cater to a young high school-y minded audience. It's not a very mature music by any stretch.
Right.
And yeah, it was like a polka kind of shit you're drinking or whatever. But for me, I got burned out on it pretty quick and it wasn't really my scene. And I grew out of it very quickly and I gravitated more towards other 90s acts out there. I liked my Nine Inch Nails and you know, whatever, Soundgarden, these bands. So anyways, I had moved away from them and that so to have them now coming out again in Coachella and having this kid singing. Now I thought it was going to be good, but I didn't think it was that great. I don't know if you have any footage.
I've got footage. Yeah. I got footage right here.
Okay.
I'll give you your choice. I've got two songs. I've got Garden Grove. I don't know their music. So got Garden Grove, or I've got Bad Fish.
Bad Fish. I like Bad Fish. Yeah, let's hear Bad Fish because that'd be interesting. The one I heard already, it was the like opening song, which is about the riot. The 1992. I think it's called 1992, which they opened with, and that was pretty rough. But I'm thinking he was nervous.
Well, let's see what he does here with Bad Fish.
All right,
here we go. Now that's the kid?
That's the kid. He looks similar to his dad.
Okay.
Shorter, maybe.
You guys know this one?
I even know this one. I didn't know what it was called, but I know it.
When you come for me, don't you pop, I never be set free. I'm a parasite, creeping closer into the night.
He's not playing guitar.
No, he's just standing there. He's doing.
He's not even playing guitar.
He's just standing there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it sounds like they have some kind of auto tune thrown on them or something. Like I don't know. It seems like something's controlling them. The first song that came out was really rough.
What's it called? 1992.
I think so. Yeah. He didn't sound anything like his dad on that one. And this is tough, though. I mean, but at the same time, he's 30 years old. Like, I was 27 when I joined Piercy's band, and nobody gave me any breaks. You know what I mean? So he's had a long time to figure out how to play that basic guitar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even see, like, where I could just start at the beginning of it. Was he playing, was the kid playing I don't know, in other bands or anything? I mean,
yeah, I watch. Well, you know what I learned? We have to bring up Josh Toomey, our buddy Toomey, got an interview with this kid, and I watched it on, he had it on his Facebook or something.
Okay.
And I happened to watch it. So I did. I almost wanted to call him up and see if he would come on and give us what his take on it, because he's probably more familiar.
Yeah,
with the band, but
I don't know their music real well.
But he had a band called Jacob's Ladder.
Okay.
Apparently, and he sounds like a very humble, cool kid. By the way, hearing him speak in the interview that he did with Josh, it was like a phone in or something he did with them, and he said that he didn't pick up the guitar till he saw the Jack Black movie Pick of Destiny.
Apparently, he didn't learn to play it yet.
Yeah, then and his grandfather, I guess, would be Brad's dad or is the mother's dad.
Okay.
The kid wanted to learn how to play guitar. He taught him a power chord or something, and then he was pretty much off to the races. And he described his growing up as him trying to learn that guitar and having an acoustic with him everywhere and playing it for people that didn't want to hear it. And everywhere he went, he had the guitar. It was sweet and whatever. Now he's about the same age as his dad was, and he's been tapped for this gig. And he says that he was telling Josh that vocally singing, it's taken him a lot. Like he had to develop it, and he basically did that by trying to learn how to emulate some of his favorite bands and whatever. He's not terrible at doing his dad's voice, but his dad, I don't know how hard his dad's voice is to do. I mean, it's probably a popular karaoke track.
Yeah, probably.
But it's taken him this long to get the vocal. Obviously, he's never got good enough on guitar. His dad was pretty good at playing ska guitar.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of upstrokes. I never got into it. I thought it was stupid back then. I just like, you will never, there's no ska band days of me.
I had a moment where I was into it. Yeah. Honestly, you mentioned No Doubt. I mean,
right.
Put us back on the screen here for a minute. You mentioned No Doubt. That was one of my most fun times ever, was hanging out with them.
Right.
I got, they were playing the Buzzard Fest at, for a minute, WMMS was decided to be an alt-rock station instead of a rock station.
Okay.
So, like, they had this festival called Buzzard Fest, and it was everything that was popular in 1990, whatever. I think the headlining band was 311, and it was like 311 and Meredith Brooks and No Doubt. And
I couldn't stand 311.
You didn't like Down?
I liked it when I thought it was a chick singing it.
Yeah.
I thought a chick was singing it, and then it turns out it was a dude. I'm like, I don't like it anymore.
I don't remember any of the words, but the guy's voice is annoying as shit. But I always liked it. I just thought it was kind of fun. But yeah, I loved No Doubt, though, because I got to stage intro them, and I introed them, and then they invited me back after to their little trailer spot that they had, or it was really just like kind of next to their bus.
Mm-hmm.
Just got hammered. Just drank a ton and smoked a ton, and goddamn, Gwen Stefani was so hot at the time.
Right.
That was when she was wearing just, you know, belly shirts and like parachute pants or whatever.
They had a lot better songs than Sublime.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But their hits were never any good either. It was like they had like a bunch of really good songs on their album, and then they would release like Don't Speak or shit like that. That
was now,
like,
Don't Speak was very mature. It didn't sound like they even wrote it, but apparently they did. But
it was,
that one was very mature. That hit, that's when they really blew up to superstardom, and the spider webs.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, they were at this too, dude. They were at Coachella also.
Oh, yeah?
I did see some footage. Now, I think like the thing to do is to bring your bestie up there to sing with you. Like a lot of bands doing that. It was fucking stupid.
Yeah, no one wants to see that.
Yeah,
so did she bring Gavin Rosdale up?
No, I don't. I don't know who the singer was. She brought like a younger singer up to sing the bathwater song. I don't know. She sings about wanting to be in your bathwater. I don't know what song that is.
I don't know what that is. But
they were both. They were singing in the same key, like a unison thing. It just sounded terrible, man. And it was like, this was like ruining the show for people that might like that song. Like, I'm not even into having people come on stage, honestly, to have guests come up on the band.
Well, here's the thing with that, and I found the Bathwater song. We'll play that in a second. But if you bring someone on stage, there should be a couple of rules that are adhered to. Number one, most important, it either has to be a former band member with at least 20 years from the last time they played with you.
Okay.
Has to be.
I like that. I like that.
Or they have to be a bigger star than you.
I like that too. I feel like I've said that too when I put in my two cents. I'm like, you know, we shouldn't have anybody out here that's not at least as big as you.
Yeah.
And like a singer or something.
Yeah. I'll throw a name. No disrespect meant. But if Stephen Piercy's playing a show, do not go, "We got a special guest here tonight. It's Joe Lestay from Bang Tango." No. Aww. No. I like Bang Tango.
I love Joe Lestay.
I love Joe
too. Shut your mouth.
I love Joe. I'm a big fan.
Someone else. That's not funny.
I was going to go Tureen, but you were. But I know you're friends with him too.
He's my friend too. Yeah,
but again, not bigger than Stephen. Not bigger than Stephen. So it's not enhancing the Stephen Piercy show. It's degrading the Stephen Piercy show because you're bringing on somebody that's not as good.
Right. Now, Great White had to bring up somebody last week from the local band that was much better than what it would.
Great White should have brought up a mortician. Yeah. That's who they should have brought up because Jack Russell looked like he was dying.
No,
period.
With another rule, I think should be like there's some scenarios where you can trade off. I've seen the trade off work where they worked it out ahead of time and it's a duet kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And they got it really worked out and they're trading off. But if you're just going to have some guy come up and you haven't even really talked about what's going to happen.
No.
Maybe sing on the chorus or a gang vocal or something, but
no, they got to be bigger than you though. Stephen Piercy. Now, if Stephen wanted to have a guest come up,
right?
It should be Axl Rose.
Do you remember when Sebastian Bach had Rob Halford come up to sing something?
That's legitimate. Yeah,
that was amazing.
Delivering the goods.
They did deliver the goods. It was so goddamn good. I watched it recently.
But let's go the other way. If Judas Priest had Sebastian Bach come up, no, that doesn't work.
Well, today it's not working. So it didn't work for Air Supply so well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Air Supply is the bigger band. Air Supply is a bigger band than Skid Row. That doesn't work. But if Sebastian said, "Guess who's hanging out at the show tonight? It's Graham Hitchcock from Air Supply," that kind of works. But if they're not bigger, then it doesn't work.
Air Supply's not going to come up singing "Slave to the Grind."
No, not at all. I'm just saying, just the general rule should be if they're not bigger than you, then they don't come on.
Right.
That, I mean, it shouldn't be. Stephen Piercy shouldn't be having the lead singer of Kick Tracy come up just because he sees him and he knew him from back in the day. Because no one cares.
Now, there's times where maybe the song has a big gang chorus-y kind of thing, and you can pull everybody on stage to sing.
But you do that unannounced.
Right.
You do that where they're standing on the side, and you have your roadie go and say, "Hey, go up to the mic."
Well, they basically...
That's okay.
Like at that magic show thing when Robin Zander played, and... all of a sudden he had Kip Winger. He had all of us that were there in attendance come up on the stage at the end to go, "Your mama's all right. Your daddy's all right."
Yeah, that's a little, but that was kind of an all-star jam anyway.
All-star jam, like kind of thing. Bring everybody out to play tonight at the end of this song. At the end, not the beginning.
But if it was, let's just say it would have been, I don't know, Sammy Hagar was the band.
Right.
Then it would have been awkward to have you and Rick Nielsen and you know, everybody that was there come up because you guys aren't as big as Sammy Hagar.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Going up with some of the guys there. I've always felt weird. Like I've had opportunities where I mix in with these people.
Yeah.
And it's always weird because they're all way more famous than me. And they're a lot of times, so half of them are like, "Who is this guy? What's he doing here?"
Well, and that's always been, but you know what? You're saying that as a joke. I'm saying as a fan, that's exactly what I think. When I see AC/DC and they say, "Hey, look who's here. It's Phil Lewis."
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. You know why? But if you flipped it, LA Guns has played a set and they're like, holy shit, look who's in the house. It's Brian Johnson.
Now who's the who's the singer that's has her hair dyed like three colors? She's kind of chubby and wears like really
Billie Eilish.
Clothes. Billie Eilish. Thank you, Chris. She did the same thing. She brought like her bestie out for a song on here, and it was garbage. I don't want to be too liberal with my opinions tonight, but I don't understand the style of singing that I'm hearing from some of these people. Where
like Billie Eilish?
Yeah, like it sounds like this. It's like
I love Billie Eilish, by the way. But go ahead.
I mean, they're like not even singing. Like it's like they're just doing this like falsetto. Like I don't even know how they even like amplified it for this concert.
Come on, stop it.
Am I wrong?
It is a style. I know it's not a super popular style for us old folks. It's honestly the pop version of emo. That's really what it is.
I think about it.
It's whiny. No. It's whiny shit. No. Come on, I'm gonna play you some Billie Eilish.
Oh, dare you, Billie Eilish?
I love her. First of all, I think she's hot, but two, I love her.
I don't understand it.
No, well, let's see if you dig this. You probably won't. I know nobody's going to like it but me, but I don't care.
My Invisalign has
where the is album. It? Come on. Come on. I can see this all day at Coachella. Yeah. Come on. This you'll hate it. White shirt, black hair, not working, no sleep. You're on your tippy toes, creeping around like no one knows. Think you're so criminal. Bruises. You hate this, don't you?
Yes. You don't
sit. Thank you. Oh, please. I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul, so cynical. So you're a tough guy. Come on. You're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy. Just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, love it. Seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Right, bad guy.
Duh.
Right.
Come on, man. It's the
she's
goods.
She's chubbed up since this.
Well, I don't know that she's chubby, really, because she's like, I love her. I'm a total fan of her. And she's not really fat. She's just got gigantic tits.
Right.
And she wears big clothes, which makes her look fat.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the rare photo of her like in like a bikini or just like jeans and stuff, she's right. Really in shape. She's got monstrous tits.
I understand the appeal to young kids or women with it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's fine. That's their generation.
Yeah.
To understand it. See, personally, I don't understand. It sounds very produced. It sounds very, you know.
I'm in the minority here. People hate her.
I don't think she's, you know, I'm not saying that she's ugly or anything. But as far
he
as
he is.
being held to that level that she's, you know, where they're writing, you know, James Bond soundtracks for her and stuff.
Mm-hmm. She's one of the biggest stars in the entire world right now.
I know it's kind of weird though. Like, but hey, that's what they got. That's what we got right now.
Her shit, like even like Bad Guy, that's catchy. Even if you don't like the lyric, you like the beat.
But what about the one? Didn't Justin Bieber come in and he was like, "I'm a bad guy."
I think he does a version of it too. Sure.
That's the one I heard that I thought I liked better. I don't know if that version came out after, like they did a second
probably
and try to bring him into the mix because they're trying to sell.
Dude, there's metal bands that have covered this song already.
Really?
That I find weird. But she's okay. This like music though, or whatever.
The riff that's going on there. Yeah. That's fucking stupid.
I love it.
No, I. That's some like weird Willy Wonka ride or something. Like, I don't know. It's like something from like the 60s or something, like a goofy sitcom from the 60s music or something. Right. I don't know. I'm digging it. Very repetitive, like super monotonous and repetitive. And
look, I'm not trying to tell you that
she's not changing the key.
I'm not trying to tell you it's Dream Theater, for God's sakes. I'm just saying that it's catchy. No,
I love a catchy, like trashy rock thing. I was like, I love the White Stripes.
Yeah.
I loved old 60s kind of trash garage rocky stuff.
Sure.
I'm into that, but I just don't understand this like super overproduced shit.
Right. I hear you.
Like,
check this out. This is a cover, a metal cover of that song. Like Anchor, which I don't know who Anchor is, but I've heard this before. It's not terrible.
All right.
See, they're trying to metal it up. Why should no friends, my bloody no sleeping? You're on your tippy toes creeping. See? Mm-hmm. I say you better not talk too quick. Steven might come to you tomorrow and say, hey, we need to cover that.
I kind of like this one better, this version a little better, I guess. But it's still all the same.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's not reinventing the wheel. That's
it's kind of like a Eurythmics almost vibe. Like the Eurythmics had a kind of minor sounding, you know, vibe, but this is like a monotone. Like, that's the best we got. That's the best we got for like singer pop. We went from Whitney Houston to like Billie Eilish. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who else is there now? You got Meek Mill.
Right.
You know, or Kanye.
I know time has marched on. Like, I'm sorry, I never know anybody's name. I'm the freaking worst with this. But Kelly Clarkson. Like, Kelly Clarkson has kind of moved on with her career, but she was actually a fantastic singer.
Yeah, she's a great singer.
Right? And there's no denying that. Like, for me, like, Kelly Clarkson crushes Billie Eilish, but what do I know? I don't know. It's a taste thing. It's subjective.
Well, and then there's Taylor Swift.
Right, Taylor Swift.
Who's average at everything and the biggest star on the entire world.
Did she play Coachella this year, or is she too big for that?
She's probably too big for that. Why would she play that? Yeah. She could sell it out herself.
She'd want so much money to do that.
She'd probably want $500 million or something to play it. She could sell as many tickets as Coachella did.
Right. Well, Coachella, I just feel, has jumped the shark, Chris.
I agree.
Just from everything that I've seen so far, we've spared the audience watching Billie Eilish bring her bestie up to sing one of these stupid songs.
Right.
But yeah, it looked very disappointing. And these are expensive tickets, right? I mean, Coachella is like outrageous to go
to.
They're
like sick four digit. They're like all like $1,000 for the weekend or whatever.
$1,000. And they got just these, you know, kind of hacky people coming up and sucking. I mean, some of them are big names, but.
Well, I mean, Billie Eilish, a big name, just not for us.
Yeah.
Dude, I hate to say it, but we've jumped the shark.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to, is we are now the bands that our dads liked.
Yeah.
You know, once cool, not so much anymore. You know, right. I hate to just be that brutal about it, but it's true.
A band like Sublime might still be appealing to that college group, you know, like where they would still enjoy hearing the immature people would enjoy hearing that music. But it, you know, and it did seem like it would work for Coachella, because then now the 50-year-olds can afford such tickets, you know, to go to this.
Yeah, there's certain bands that can do it forever. Flogging Molly.
Mm.
As long as there's Irish drinking, they'll be able to continue. They'll at least be able to play every March for the end till the end of time.
Like, they'll pull your drinking card if you don't like Flogging Molly, or you're not Irish. I don't even know. I don't know any of their songs.
I don't know any of them either. And I'm Irish, for God's sakes. Yeah. But I don't know any of their songs. But I know that they can book. It's like Gwar. Gwar. Can you name two Gwar songs? I don't think Gwar fans can. Right. And that being said, every October they will sell out 30 shows because they'll play that Halloween thing.
Right.
from now to the end of time. And they'll just keep swapping out people, and it doesn't matter. Yeah, Dropkick Murphys, another one. Dropkick Murphys will have a gig every March till the end of time. And they could swap out anybody. It doesn't matter. Because mm-hmm. nobody knows. You know.
Well, my tastes have changed. Like, I mean, the ska thing, I have no desire to listen to that. No doubt. There's probably some No Doubt songs I'd be cool with hearing still. And there's a couple Sublime songs, like that one, Bad Fish is a pretty good song. But some of that, the real fast polka ska stuff, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the sad 90s, man. The 90s pretty sucked as a musician, as a guitarist. It was just nothing going on there. And it was disappointing to see that the kid couldn't play the guitar. He just seems like he's using it more as a prop.
Sure. Well, dude, the 90s was that time, too, that, like, I love 90s music, personally, and I know that makes me the enemy of all
there's
the
80s good
bands, 90s
music.
But
don't get me wrong, there is good 90s stuff.
I loved most of it, but I love most everything. I certainly understand enough to know that I like far more than most people do.
Good.
But I definitely was, dude, it didn't matter who it was. Meredith Brooks bought the record. Four Non Blondes bought the record. I mean, you can name the Candlebox bought all the records. Sponge, yes, went and saw them, bought the records. You know, I was right. All in on it. Because a lot of people, when they talk about the 90s, all they do is they talk about like four bands. They talk about Soundgarden, Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots.
Right.
Who's the other one? Who's Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. Maybe Nine Inch Nails. You know, but I liked a lot of the radio rock stuff. It was a radio rock era. And it's weird because for me personally, I didn't listen to the radio that much because I was on the radio. You know, same reason you probably don't listen right. to fucking Rat Records because you're playing them. Right. You know, but because I was a DJ back then, I didn't really listen to the radio that much. I would get out of the radio station and it was all like the most heavy stuff I could find. It's like all Immolation or Anal Cunt or Cannibal Corpse, or, you know, just the most. Used to drive my ex crazy. She'd get in my car and I'd start the car up and I was going to be like, I want to kill your mother. Fucking hard. You know, it's like, and she's like, what are you listening to? I was like, it's just Cannibal Corpse. Don't worry about it. You know, she didn't get it.
Man.
Music is so subjective. I don't think anybody could say any of it's good or bad or whatever. Cause
right.
you know, where I'm seeing those bands, I could tell you probably my most played record in the 90s was Shania Twain's Come On Over.
She's kind of fun. I can appreciate Shania Twain.
And dude, meeting her, I am telling you, I think I was drooling on the table when I met her. Right. I was sitting at a table interviewing her.
Sure.
And
she's got the whole package.
She's fucking beautiful. I mean, right. And this was, you know, 1998 or whatever.
No, she still looks great. I watched recently, like a few months ago, watched some concert on YouTube, like a live thing of her. And it was rocking, man.
Yeah, she's
great.
She's,
like,
it's a big show.
Rock guitarist. And,
yeah, it's a big show.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you know what, though, dude? The old guard still does it better than it, since we're talking about right. Coachella a little bit. Last night, this had nothing to do with Coachella. It's just a point about the old guard still does it better. Last night, I don't know what I was watching even, because I was just kind of flipping through channels on like the free channels, not even the streaming channels. I was just seeing how my, truth be told, I was just seeing how my antenna works because I'm getting ready to drop YouTube TV because it's just too fucking expensive.
Right.
So I was just seeing what channels I get with the antenna, right? And somehow I popped on to some kind of Billy Joel concert.
Right.
And it's recent. It was definitely like within the last like 3 months or something, like very recent.
Did you have a heart attack?
Yeah, pretty much. I'll tell you what was nuts, though, was that it killed. Right. I mean, he was doing some of his hits. He did like two or three of his songs. It was fantastic. It was a giant show. 43 fucking musicians on stage. They were doing, I forget what song they were doing, but they broke into Whole Lotta Love. Like in the middle of one of the Billy Joel songs, they broke into Whole Lotta Love. It was just cool, man. And I was like, I was just sitting there going, God damn it. That's awesome.
I guess his concert from recently from Times Square was being broadcast on live TV or something.
That might have been what I was watching. Yeah.
On the last song, Piano Man, they cut it short for something to go into a sports game. And everybody freaked out.
Oh man!
Like, how dare you interrupt Piano Man?
Yeah, I'm gonna say this to Fuego. I believe yes, he was actually playing. I do think he was. I mean, it seemed like
he played that first. He started the song. You're correct, Fuego, that he did start the first couple three chords. Dun gun gang gun 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 gun, and then he just pulled out, and there was somebody else off stage playing that. You can put it back on. I've been look yourself. As soon as he starts singing,
what song is it?
Badfish. He was no longer playing guitar.
Oh, the Badfish guy.
Yeah. Right, he stopped playing as soon as he started singing.
Badfish.
Somebody else that we're not seeing is playing it, that guitar.
Sublime 2024. Let me find that Coachella video again. Here it is.
He's playing here.
Okay. All right, which one of you is going to play this while I fake it? Yeah, he's not playing at all now.
I don't think he's playing it. Maybe he is. No. Oh, he's barely. Somebody else is playing it, and he's.
You guys know this one?
He's just fingering along.
Look. See, do you see a hand strumming? No.
No.
What they did was stop it for a second, Chris. What they did was he goes, okay, we ready. And he got, make sure he was in the back, and he kind of started, he started to play a chord,
right.
And then the guy who was off stage had the louder guitar
picked up,
and
the
he
chord.
Starts playing. Yeah. He starts playing from that point. And so he's just kind of accompanying it, like quieter in the mix.
So is that better or worse than a backing track?
I think that's better. Definitely better than a backing track. That to have a real guitarist there, because I think the band's not playing with a click track or anything. They're you could tell that they're actually playing live how they right. feel the songs. So they kind of would need an actual guy off stage, which stuff like that has been going on in 80s rock too. You know what I mean? Ozzy Osbourne was
Whit Crane.
Allegedly had stuff like that happening. Kiss, I think, had stuff like that happening. So this has gone on for a long time where they have somebody off stage. Sometimes the band has an extra person. They're not like one of the original, you know, main iconic people. So they kind of keep them off, or they bring a keyboard player. He's just off to the side or something like that. I don't know whether, if they're just kind of focusing the video and you could see where the other guitarist is, but there's most certainly someone else is actually playing the guitar and not this kid.
YouTube has ruined it for these guys, 'cause they can't fake it anymore.
Right.
Dude, we were showing Loverboy one night. Recent Loverboy thing. They're doing I think it's Turn Me Loose or something.
Right.
And Mike Reno wasn't singing any of it. It was the keyboard player. And the only reason we picked up on it was because he was like waving the mic around, and there was no variation on his voice at all. Like, he was like doing the Turn Me Loose, Turn Me Loose, and he's like doing a big circle with coming
Mike
back
Reno.
And it was like, but then we could see the keyboard player behind him taking cues and singing the parts. It was like, dude, what are you doing?
I mean, I am okay with that. Like, if they got somebody on stage that can really pull the voice off good and kind of keep it going, you know, for an older artist, I think that's cool. Like, you almost expect an older artist to have the accompaniment with them, the background singers, the this and that, to where it all kind of comes together and they can blend in the guy's voice with these other people. Or if somebody's good enough that's singing and they could just hold the microphone out, like Mike Reno is allegedly.
Well, here. Well, not allegedly. I'll show you. Take a look at this. You tell me if Mike Reno is cueing the keyboard player.
He looks like he actually trimmed down a little bit.
Well, that's might be the angle.
To his credit.
Might be the angle. All right, here we go. Check this out. guy looks like Eddie Money. So he's playing.
Yeah.
He's playing. Now, right there, they sound good, right?
Yeah.
Now watch this. See how he's moving the mic all over the place?
I'm just singing.
Come on, dude. That is a track all day.
You think
he's
so?
Moving the mic all over the place, and there's no variance at all in his vocal.
Hmm.
Watching.
Okay, I'll
just
keep
watching closer. I'll watch how he's moving it. And, you know, he's trying to give a show, but there's no sound at all change. Now, admittedly, it's recorded of a bad. If you're going to do that, then play the actual album that sounds better. But whatever.
Okay.
Try one more time. Let's see what you think. He's moving it all over the place.
Hmm.
You think he's singing?
I mean, I can't say that he's not singing. He could have just really good. I mean, here's the thing. You got to kind of pull back a little bit on it when you're really belting it out on certain things.
But wouldn't you hear it?
I mean, he's got a very, you're right in the sense that he's extremely consistent sounding.
That's what I'm saying. You don't hear any, like if I'm talking to you here and I back up like
you're right.
This,
it should,
you
you're
know,
saying
you should hear
directional.
Something.
It should be a little directional,
yeah.
Right? Well,
yeah.
I mean, it depends, I guess, how gated it is. I don't know. Like I'm kind of moving around right now, right? You don't hear too much of a difference, right?
But I hear some. I hear
he's
some,
not like
yeah.
if he was to come up but to here and then back to here, yeah, you would notice that. But he, it looks yeah. like he never brings it quite up to his
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, but if you lift it over your head, watch, yeah. He's lifting it over his head.
You're
he's
right.
He's like, I've been here to please make it on my
right.
knees.
Which and, he's, and I'll give you this too. Usually they do gate the mic enough so it doesn't pick up too much of the other shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I but I'm not sure. I'm kind yeah. of undecided.
Let's watch a little more of this.
Okay.
All right, watch this. Come on. He did not sing that note.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard. Okay, one problem, too, is I can't see, you said somebody else was singing. Like
this guy in
the
back.
Band.
You don't need to. You see this guy. Watch this guy. He sings the note, I'm going to go back to it. He might have triggered something on his keyboard. Because watch, he's watching Reno, and right when that note hits, he pushes something. Watch. Let me go back. Watch the keyboard player.
Okay, I'm watching him.
All right, here it comes. See, he's looking at Mike.
Yeah, here we go.
Here he comes. See?
Oh,
come
you're
on.
Right. He triggered something.
He triggered something. He let it go.
It went. Yeah. Way. You're right. He reached over. He goes,
he went,
kind of and like he
and
was
the,
saying.
And the minute the note stops, I'm going to play it one more time. The minute the note stops, the second the note stops, he also lets go of whatever he's holding on the keyboard.
Right.
Watch.
You're right. That's cool, though. I mean, it's pretty awesome. He triggered it. It sounds good.
Dude. But it just goes, is that any better than having a track?
It is in the sense, I guess, that
a track.
Yeah, the drummer looks like he does have a headset on to have a click track going there.
Yeah, everybody does it. Or not everybody, 90%. Don't say any names. Is 90% accurate?
More and more are doing it. More and more are doing it. That's for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I have no doubt that it's been going on forever. You know, to me, any band you've ever seen that does the thing where they have like a long intro to a song and then it doesn't come right into like a hard hitting thing.
Yeah.
Is doing it and always has been doing it. Like, again, I'll say a name. You don't have to agree or disagree. I've always thought Poison used tracks from the earliest days.
Hmm.
Just because they did a lot of shit with the, you know, with the lead-in tracks. They would do the lead-in tracks, and then it would just sound so smooth like the record, and it would fade into a live version.
Yeah. Brett doesn't seem to be doing it now. I mean, and it sounds... The same as Poison, his solo band, pretty much.
I'm saying back in the day when they were at the top.
Maybe. I didn't see them back then when they were like opening for Rat and doing their first tour. I didn't see them till we started playing with them in the 2000s.
Sure. And of course, Motley, it's no secret now that they've mined it in forever.
They did have the girls that sang, like the backup singers, which I liked the idea of that. That kind of thing's gone on forever where they had backup singers back Motown days. But you can't always afford all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now here, the keyboard player, that effect, it was like a new studio version of that scream they took it from the studio, but ran it through a processor. So it like sounded even more spaced out and crazy and reverberated.
Right.
So they kind of made it an instrument in a way. So it was kind of okay, I guess. But as you're mentioning it, he may be singing more than that because that mic is all over the place.
We're not hearing much. Well, and that's it. You see him do it here. What says that top? How do we know that top rack is nothing but lines?
I know a lot of these shows. I mean, if I'm like really yelling, I might pull back a little bit, but I end up having to be pretty close onto the mic singing able to, I like to hear it somewhere out there. And I'm not usually put in the mix enough already, you know, being a background singer.
Is it crazy to think that that at least half of this top keyboard is triggered tracks?
Maybe. Yeah.
Of every high note that from every song, it could very well be.
I mean, I guess back in the 80s, they did have a live. Is this the guy? He looks old enough to possibly.
Yeah, he probably. I don't know who's. I know Mike Reno's the original guy.
I don't know, though. At the same time, that keyboard player might not be the original guy.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
He looks maybe not old enough because you look at the guitar player.
Yeah, the guitar player and the bass player seem to be old enough.
Is that the original dudes?
I think so, yeah. Well, let's see.
Did they have two? They had two guitarists.
One of them drowned.
Oh, you're kidding me!
Yeah, somebody in their band. I don't know who it was, but
that also happened in one of Tom Petty's original band guys. The original bassist drowned. Also,
let's see, Tom or Loverboy. Here, the current band. Paul Dean is the guitar player, and that was that old guy, and he's been the guy forever.
Mm-hmm. He was the curly-haired, longer curly-haired guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The drummer is, believe it or not, that drummer is the original guy.
Really?
Matt Frenette.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's been there since 1979.
This keyboard looks like he's in his 50s, though, to me.
The keyboard player is also the original guy.
Nice.
Although he was out for a year. He played with them from 79 to 88, and then they took a break in 89, and then they came back in 91 to present, and he was back with them. So he took off that 1 year.
Right.
But he's been with them the whole time.
He's the coolest looking guy.
I don't know, his drummer looks pretty young for a guy that's been in Loverboy for 40 years. Dude, their first album came out in 1980, for God's sakes. That guy, that drummer looks pretty young for a guy that's been playing for 40 years.
I worry for Mike, though, over here. He needs to figure something out. One time a kid came up to me and we were playing something that Loverboy was playing at also. Mm-hmm. And I was at the hotel. I think it was at the hotel or something. And some little kid came up and goes, "Are you the singer for Loverboy?" Because I had a bandana on. I had it was this around when you saw us back when we came to Cleveland. 2012.
Yeah.
2012. Like I was doing the bandana thing for a while. Mm-hmm. And so this kid saw the bandana and I got so pissed that this kid asked me that. I was like, "What?" I'm like, "You think I'm the mic guy?" No. No. He's about weighs twice as much as I do, and he's twice as old. Now get out of here.
He might have only known him from the videos.
Right, that's true. But either way, I go, "Yeah, dude never had like a mohawk or anything," or I don't know. I just remember I got really insulted that, and you know what it was? It was probably like his parent or something probably sent him over there. You know,
probably because he was embarrassed. Yeah. He was embarrassed to fucking ask himself, so he sent his kid.
They are
thinking that parents, you wouldn't be so mean.
Parents are pussies with that.
They really are.
I told you my dad did that to me for the Psycho 3 premiere we got to go to. We like won tickets on the radio to see Anthony Perkins, Psycho 3.
Okay.
He was gonna be there. He came to the theater.
Right.
To MC this thing and play the movie for us. And I don't know. I was probably 12 at the time. And I remember we won a shower radio at this thing at the raffle. And it was like a little, it came
out. Yeah, had the hook on the top.
Had the, you could put it in the shower.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, "You got to go over there. Go over there and get him to sign it." And I'm like, this guy gave me the creeps. For one, like, this guy's like only done rated R movies that I'm not even supposed to have seen at all.
Right.
And he was like very tall. He probably had AIDS right then, because I think he passed away not too long after that,
right?
And this was in the 80s. This would have been at like 85 or something. I don't know what year that movie came out, Psycho 3. But I pussed out. Like, I remember I went up there and I was like, Mr. Bates, I mean, Mr. Perkins, or right. I kind of stuttered in my little kid voice. I wasn't being loud enough. I saw him like look down at me like, and I just kind of pussed out. You know, I just got too frightened. I was like, I'd never been that close to a movie star before, let alone a creepy one.
Right.
And, you know, I being, 11 or 12 years old, I don't know how tall I was, 4 foot something.
That was 86. He died in 92. Okay.
All right.
And I'm trying to see what he died of.
AIDS.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doubting you. I just don't know.
He died of AIDS.
God. Long fucking thing. Yeah. Died of AIDS. Son of a bitch. At age 60.
Would I lie to you? Pew!
All right, I think we've given the kids plenty of content tonight, and you've got to get packed because you got a busy time. You're finally going back on the road. Right. So tell everybody where you are going to be, Mr. Eric.
I'm off to Texas and going to Denton, Texas. It's Colony, I guess. Colony, Texas. Lava Cantina, Stephen Piercy Band. Then that is on that show's Wednesday. By the way, Wednesday the 17th. Then we got to fly over to San Antonio for the Fiesta Oyster Bake. And that's some festival thing going on there that we're headlining. And then the week after that, Chris and I, the rubber.
That's right.
Thursday night Fright Bite. It'll be Count Crackula. So if you sign up for locals for Chris, you'll get to watch that. If you head over to my Facebook page, I have a subscriber page. It's only a buck on it. Yeah. And there's so much cool stuff on there, but probably the coolest thing that you get during the month is the watch along horror night with Chris and Count Krakula is probably the most fun thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then on top of that, you get the shows that I'm doing, which I'm focusing on Sea Hunters. I had to cancel or temporarily pause some of the other ideas I had because it was just like too much to do at one time.
Stoic Steve's schedule's too busy.
Stoic Steve, it would be is easier to do, and he will do more cooking. But as far as trying to do the tripping out with Eric Ferrantino's and the Sea Glass Hunters and prepare for shows and write albums, no, like that I quickly found was not happening. And just with the sheer amount of like footage you take and have to edit, like I forgot how long that takes.
Yeah, you know, welcome to my life, sir.
Now, what's cool about the Sea Glass Hunter show, besides all the awesome stuff that I find, and I'll show again while we have everybody here, some of the bones I've found. This is one of them. Now, my mom came over last night, Chris, for dinner.
Okay.
Before we go, I had the folks over. My mom looked at this, and she believes that this definitely belongs to a huge animal, like a cow.
Okay.
Or a horse or something like that. Also, this was one of the bones that very heavy. But there was some time there I couldn't get an ID. I was looking on Reddit and so forth. This was a vertebrae. This was the last thing. Did I tell you about this?
No.
This I just found the other day. Wow. This is some type of vertebrae that washed up. Now, my mom also looked at this. My mom's had a ton of back issues. She's like, oh, that's not a human vertebrae. She was like certain of it.
Right.
So we think that maybe through the Tijuana River, you know, somebody burned a cow or cooked a cow and somehow made its way in there. And then with the recent storms, these have ended up coming up onto the beach. So it's not just sea glass I go over. Right. I find cool stuff. You wouldn't believe it washes up. Now, the reason why I'm focusing on the show is because every day there's different stuff there. I could do this forever. It doesn't cost me as much. I just walk out there.
Sure.
But it's going to get more cool as the summer rolls in and the action turns up at the beach. And I will take people also around downtown Oceanside there as well. Now, that's a show you get every other episode is on my subscriber channel. And I do music to it. I create music and demos I have. So you do get to hear the music aspect because I have to put a soundtrack kind of into this show here and there.
Right.
So you get to hear some of my musical ideas that range and styles and stuff.
Cool.
So it's worth it, man.
Very cool. Well, I'll be my normal places. Seth on Wednesday, Classic Metal Show Saturday. Interviews this week, tomorrow, if you hang out for the podcast, is The Devil Wears Prada, Jeremy DePoister. And on Thursday, one that you guys are probably more interested in, Mr. Wolf Hoffman of Accept will be on.
Nice.
So good interviews this week. And that's going
to
do it.
I found this necklace. I forgot. I knew we have to go. I found this necklace. I thought it was gold, but I don't think it is.
No. All right, we're gone. Bye, kids. We'll see you guys next Monday. Eric will have lots of road stories, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I won't. So so for Chris Aiken Presents, I am Chris Aiken.
I'm Eric Ferrantinos.
And we are gone. See you, folks.
Do you want to watch the Classic Metal Show all day long? Do you have a Roku? If your answers are yes and yes, then you need to get Wowza TV on your Roku. It's free to install and brings you the Classic Metal Show on your TV 24/7. Just look up and install Wowza TV in the Roku streaming store and you can enjoy the CMS all day and night right on your TV. Yes, folks, this includes the live editions of the CMS as well. Install Wowza TV now on your Roku and never be without the Classic Metal Show again. Hail and kill.
The most exciting and most talked about show today is Chris Aiken Presents. If you like great interviews, real road stories and more, then Chris Aiken, Eric Ferrantinos, and their cast of characters have the show that you need to watch. Catch the show live on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern at ChrisAiken.net, CMS TV, Wowza TV, Rumble, and X. There's always lunacy happening on Chris Aiken Presents.